What we do here is go
back. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bare Knuckles Most Wanted. It's our new podcast. I got Joe Elmore down here. He's one of our new hosts. Brandon Lambert, I think you might know him. we're doing Bare Knuckle, newcoming organization, Ragnarok Bare Knuckle. We got one of the fighters, Shannon DeCannon, Rich, and Stanley, and I can never pronounce the last name, and Andy Bickwell. So is everybody still on?
Yeah.
So, all right. So basically, I just kind of want to start off with I'm really loving the new organization and the theme of the fights, Vikings versus Saxons and Vikings versus Spartans. Is there any chance there's going to be Vikings versus Patriots anytime down the road?
Andrew, do you want this?
I think it sort of started before. Vikings versus who, sorry?
Hello?
Vikings versus who?
I'm sorry, could you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, mate. Yeah, I said it cut off as you were talking.
Yeah, that's why I told you.
Repeat the question. Repeat it.
Yeah.
Is there any chance down the road we're going to be doing Vikings versus Patriots?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, sometime down the road. Yeah, we're looking at expanding, going all over to America at some point. In talks with teams in Mexico, Canada, and obviously we'll be looking at doing something in America at some point. Once we get to it, we've just got to get around Europe first.
Right. So, you know, what got you started as far as, you know, were you thinking we want to do something totally different, or were you thinking going down a similar road? What kind of got you in the idea of doing your own organization? I mean, it's a big leap from what you've been doing.
Well, Stan's the one who contacted me in the first place about it. It was sort of Stan's idea. He just got me on board with basically just getting all the fighters in and sorting all that side of things out. It was Stan's original idea. Do you want to tell me a bit more about it, Stan?
Yeah, I can do that. What I wanted was to, I didn't really want to make it go, but it started more like an argument between me and the Boxing Association, where Norway has some of the latest allowance of boxing. We got confirmed 2 years ago here in Norway to do boxing. And on that behalf, they have always been judgmental as shit with Bare Knuckle. So we started with all the times that they always told me that it wasn't regulated. Every time I went to TV, they were always on commenting, not regulated. And it started from there. So when that kicked off, I knew that we wanted to start probably try to produce the best Bare Knuckle show in the world. And to do that, we needed. I felt that we needed a team. It's something that makes your Patriots and boys. So what's better than to take the tribal team you have in the country and set them up against each other, just like the Vikings against the Gladiators from Italy. So that was basically the start to do something do something new and to have like kind of a team or kind of a story behind everything. So, yeah, that's how it started.
Joe, Malo, do you got any questions?
Yeah, so,
yeah, I mean, like, so when you're saying it's Vikings versus
what's
Saxons,
your favorite
fight? Vikings versus Gladiators,
the, like the whole idea.
Well, one more time, I got two people in now.
Yeah,
sorry, go again,
Joe. What was your question?
So like what made you bring me like the event name? What's brought this upon? Like what more like why this event?
This event is okay. We're from Scandinavia, Norway. This is where the Vikings come from. It's a hot team as hell right now with the Viking series going and it's really in the wind. And of course, my nickname when I was fighter was called the Viking. So we just it couldn't be anything else. So the challenging thing was when you start your fairy tale or adventure like that, you need also characters to fight you. So we didn't go out seeking opponents. They just started calling. They started calling from Poland. They're calling from Italy, and then it came running because they love the story. So I just wrote a 20-line story about 13 Vikings going to Europe to conquer. And then it just added up with they came from Ireland, from Italy, and of course that's what brings enthusiasm. You don't need much, but you don't have a flag. You can have like the Patriots from America fighting the Vikings. That will give you enthusiasm and a shift in the audience. And then you can sell tickets, and then you can pay the best fighters to be there. So it's that kind of a circle that you need to fulfill to be on top. And that's there are not many people doing that this in the game. I told Matt earlier when I was on the Fight Mixer show that you kind of can look at American wrestling. You know it's a fake, but it sells show as shit because the show is good. So if you can include that in a bare knuckle event, I think you have a good start for making something different.
I honestly really relate to that. You know, my fourth cousin is Jerry Lawler. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. Wow. And I remember watching a brick glove ladder match with Flying Brian Spillman, Sergeant Slaughter. And I walked in the back and Sergeant Slaughter was slicing his eyebrow open and they was putting super glue on it. And I'm a kid thinking, like, what's going on? And he looked at me and he said, it's part of the show, man. It's part of the show. So, you know, even me, man, that's part of my character. So I love the idea of putting character and adventure because it allows people to relate to a show. So it kind of got me really interested in, and I like the idea myself because that's what made me love it. You're going to get kids, you're going to get families, and it puts just a whole other aspect to it.
Yeah.
The fans want to see a character.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Do you have favorite characters that you're bringing in? Do you have any of your favorite guys that you're bringing in on your show?
Is there me?
Shannon the Cannon.
Shannon. I'm sorry.
Shannon the Cannon.
You want to answer Shannon?
I said you brought in Shannon the Cannon. That's your friend. He said you're bringing in characters. You're bringing in me.
for my sake, it was overwhelming how the story took off like hell. So it's something that's been missing in the game, obviously, and it's something that intrigues people to. Yeah, we have applications from all over the world coming in daily. Like, 10-fold and 20-fold people contacting us want to fight for a show. So it's something that I think we will see more and more to coming up years now and the game grows. So I know, Brandon, you know a little bit about that. So making a character, making a story, you know?
No, I believe I saw you maybe it was on a fight.
So I've also heard
one time. And you had mentioned that you were inspired, like you wanted other organizations and other bare knuckle companies to come out here. The competition is good. I mean, where do you put yourself, and like, what do you separate yourself from other bare knuckle companies that are out there right now?
That's what I think is that we're in a bit of luck. Andrew is from England and I'm from Norway, so we have basically two countries to go out from and to market ourselves on. That's a good thing, but we are a traveling show. We do not compete with any leagues. We're only offering every league a chance to get another belt. It's like a Champions League then forever. So we're not stepping on any toes. We're not doing anything. We're just making the game better, I think.
I'll tell you one thing. Let me tell you what these guys do, man. This is what separates Ragnarok from other companies. I fought for everybody. I fought all over the world. I fought the biggest shows in the world. And Ragnarok, they treat their fighters 100% amazing. They treat you like a professional fighter. They're on the phone with you, first of all. You know, sometimes you go fight for a promotion, and the promoter, they don't even know your name. You might get a matchmaker or somebody that's running the event. These guys are the promoters, and the promoters are calling the fighters every couple days. Man, I get a message from Andrew and from Stan every couple days, checking in, making sure I'm okay. Do I need anything? Dude, these guys are on top of it. Not only that, they're paying good. They're treating you like a professional, and that's what's making Ragnarok the number one show in the world.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you,
yeah, man. It's always good, you know. As a fighter myself, I've dealt with several different crazy promotions, and it's always good to hear the fighter, you know, because that's what the people want to hear anyway, man. They want to hear what we think about the promotions, because what we say really matters, man. Because it builds the company. So let me ask you this: what was your what's your best experience with the company so far, Shannon?
Just, you know, the communication. I mean, these guys were easy to deal with. I mean, Stan's former fighter. These guys understand what a fighter goes through. You know, you got ups and downs. You got a fight camp. You got you know, bills to pay. These guys are on top of it. They just are. They take care of you. I've never been with an organization where the promoter is the ones backing the fighters. These guys, you know, hands down. I got to tell all the fighters, if you get a chance, go fight for Ragnarok. Do it, because these guys are going to take care of you.
Thank you. Yeah. It's
How many shows have you had with them so far? What's your record with them right now?
Well, this is the first event. I haven't even fought for them yet. This is going to be the first time. You know, I was fighting for BKFC. I was fighting for BKB. Yeah, I've been fighting bare knuckle for the last 15 years, but it's all underground. You know, it's been illegal. Dave Feldman did a really good job. He got the shows legal. We got the Boxing Commission to come in and sanction the events. They're doing a really good job in London with BKB. And you know, the shows – look, if you don't know about bare knuckle is the fastest growing sport in the world. And Ragnarok is going to be at the top of that. Everybody's going to want to fight for Ragnarok, because these guys are, one, they're true professionals, and they treat the fighters the way a fighter needs to be treated.
You want to comment on that, Andy?
No, I appreciate it. Appreciate it, Sean. Thanks.
So let me ask this then, man. With Sean saying that, what made you guys care so much? What's your what made you so connected to the fighters?
Yeah, we both fight ourselves, mate. I've been fighting for the last sort of 10, 15 years myself in Thai boxing over in England. I've been promoting bare knuckle boxing shows over here for my own company. So I know exactly what fighters did. A lot of promoters just treat them like shit, you know what I mean? They're not fighting guys, are they? They're just, a lot of the guys who sort of run shows, they just... they've not been a fighter themselves, so they don't know what a fighter wants. You know what I mean? A fighter just wants to be valued and treated properly. You know what I mean?
So it's fair to say you just know what it's like to take care of the family, and you don't want your fighters to have to struggle that same struggle a lot of us have been through everywhere else. Huh?
Right.
Yeah, man.
That's amazing, man. That's awesome.
Hey, Joe, you know the main thing about a promoter is if you just do what you say you're going to do, then everything is great. You know, a lot of times you fight for a promotion, they promise you the world, and then they treat you like shit. That's happened to me several times. With Ragnarok, whatever they say, they do. They do what they say they're going to do. And how can I say anything bad about a company that does what they say they're going to do?
To be fair, we haven't started the show yet. But again, I think it's – I can say this because I'm not from England. There's a lot of shitty people doing around there. And if you have your main source of making money as a fighter, you should treat that guy pretty good. So the combination of having a show that attracts people, we are going for 3,000 to 5,000 people at every show. That makes money in the register, and that's the money that we can give to the fighters. We can send them home. We can pick them up in sports cars. They will go home and tell everybody how cool it was and how we treated them. And then we get the best fighters. It's not a complicated circle, but there are some people out there who doesn't really understand it, I think.
I know you guys are working on contracts and all sorts of making all sorts of little moves. What are you guys working on as far as getting the event out there? Are you guys going to pay you on an app? What is your plan there?
I didn't hear your question. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I know you guys are working on contracts with different things. Are you guys looking for like pay-per-view or are you doing an app or are you guys just going to strictly stream? How are you guys planning on getting your event out there?
We're in talks with David Feldman at the minute about possibly going through the BKFC app. Nothing set in stone yet. We're having more of a discussion tomorrow about it. We spoke briefly about it last week. I think he's keen to get it going through his app, though. So we've got another company that's keen to do the same thing as well from over in Poland, Eastern Europe. So it's not set in stone yet, but it's looking good, but it's going to go down one of them two routes.
Yeah, and we have also a Scandinavian TV company making documentaries about the fighters. Mm. So we got a lot of exciting thing coming. Yeah. We only confirm, the first thing we confirm is the Danish TV company. That's been confirmed already. But we have more people. This is new up in Scandinavia. I'm the first one who was a professional up here. And I'm the one bringing it to the table, making it legalized in her up here. So we have a lot of people. We're calling from everywhere.
I also heard you say on an interview one time the little loopholes you had to go through, and it's kind of like what we're going through here in a lot of our states. You know, you got this state and that state that's not allowing it, or Alabama's just now allowing it, and we're trying to get these rules approved, and we're having to sneak the back door through these boxing commissions that don't necessarily have no glove rules. Tell the people a little bit about what. I've already heard the story, but tell them about how you got it sanctioned and commissioned and bare knuckle approved where you're at.
You want me to do the story, Andrew? Or
yeah, you're better off. You don't want to do it, man.
I don't know how it works in America, but here in Norway, as I said earlier, boxing was only illegal in North Korea and Norway until 2017. So we are late bloomers on that shit. But there's, I don't think you have the same things there. There's some kind of undefinable hatred between boxing and the bare-knuckle boxing. I don't understand why, because they obviously have all the deaths and casualties and everything. But same as that. But the way I got it legalized was, like I told earlier, I was on my way to try to get it. I always heard this on the phone at my own TV shows that it was not regulated. And I just wanted to find out what the fuck is regulated. So it appears that you have to have an association with a rules of association that the country will approve of. And then you have a regulated event. You can regulate yourself. So I tried to do that and get it through for about 8 months. And I just thought, this is not working. I don't know. So I checked out boxing's rules of association, and I discovered that they only had 7 rules for weight categories and age and all this thing with time limit and the normal things. And I just noticed they didn't have gloves written up. So I just took their rules of association, put them in my fucking application and sent it off, and it went through. So they were too busy squeezing out MMA and K1, but they forgot about bare knuckle boxing.
So, you know, the reason I love that story is because I had heard it before, and I just wanted the audience to be able to hear it. But Well, my grandpa used to say, man, a wise man always finds that you don't have to go 12 inches to get from one end to the ruler. He said, you don't got to break the ruler, but you could bend the ruler and bring it from 12 to 6 inches. And sometimes that's what we've had to do. And it's really beautiful to see the bare knuckle and just everybody in the community, even David Philbin and you guys all working together to bring this to so many countries all at once. From literally nobody knowing who anybody was to John O'Sullivan to Ragnarok and BKFC and all these companies. It's beautiful to see the audience. Even my son, you know, he's 16. He was a WWE fan, and those same kids are now watching this, and it's just a beautiful thing.
Thank you, sir. another thing. The MMA community is making a little fuss up here because they haven't got their shit legalized yet. But like I told them, you say as well, you can do a lot of loopholes. So I just told them, okay, you have three sports that's legalized, and that's Olympic sports. You take Taekwondo, you take boxing, and you take wrestling. You probably have MMA, so why don't you use those rules and send it to the Norwegian company? And they were like, yeah, fuck, yeah, we didn't think about that. So there's different ways to do it, because why not use their own rules against them?
Sir. So, Shannon, what are you doing to prepare for what's going on? I mean, do you have an opponent yet? I'm kind of a little behind. I don't quite know yet. But tell us a little bit more about what you've got coming up. What's going on with you?
Yeah, man, I'm actually the main event in Ragnarok. I'm fighting Gaz Gorman. He's a really tough guy, lightweight boxer, MMA, bare-knuckle boxer. He's one of their champions. I'm a bare-knuckle boxing champion, 26-3 with 26 wins by knockout. I was the first super fight heavyweight world champion for the BKFC in Cancun, Mexico, when we fought over there. I've been in bare knuckle for a long, long, long time, man, way before this shit started getting legal. And now it's legal, and man, I can't be more happier because it's the most exciting and most extreme sport allowed by law. I mean, this, anyone that hasn't watched bare knuckle, they watch it one time, and they're a huge fan of it after that. What I'm doing, man, I'm acting. I'm doing a couple movies I got going on. I own a gym, and in my spare time, which it's not a lot, but I'm training. What's that?
Living the dream.
Yeah, I'm living the dream, man. I'm out there playing golf every day, 4 days a week. But no, man, I'm training. I'm training hard. I got a good fight camp, and I plan on giving Gaz a really good fight. And hopefully, I come home with that Ragnarok belt. You know, I'm a belt collector. I like belts, so we're gonna do the best we can to put on a show for the fans.
Yeah.
No, you're old school. I mean, I've seen a couple of your fights. I haven't kept up with everything because I've just got back into bare knuckle because I was so far into MMA. But for the fans who don't know, what would you consider your biggest fight? What's one of the biggest moments other than, of course, bare knuckle now becoming to a mainstream and you really getting to show people what you've been doing forever? What in the past, if you could get to bring to present, well, what fight would you bring and what was your biggest fight so far?
Man, there's been a handful. I mean, I have 236 professional MMA fights. I've been fighting since 1991. There's only three guys in the world with 100 wins. I'm one of them. But my highlight of my career probably had to be Pride 11 fighting the main event against Sakuraba. No one wanted to fight Sakuraba, man. He had fought five graces in a row. And then I'm the main event fighting Sakuraba. On the undercard, I got Vanderlei Silva. I got Quinn Jackson. You got all these guys that are, you know, legends in the sport of MMA. And I'm the main event. Man, I'll tell you what, that was awesome. I fought Frank Shamrock in K1. That was another big one. I fought Dan Severn twice. I mean, I fought the who's who of MMA. And I've never backed down. I've never ducked anyone. I'm not the best fighter in the world. I just get out there and do what I can for as long as I can. Most of my fights have been in first round, but I give the fans what they want. I come out hard, fast, and continuously, and I try to just give a knockout. You either knock me out or I knock you out, and that's the way I fight. You know, I don't want to go to a decision. I think those fights are boring. I think the fans, you know, they pay their hard-earned money and they want to see two guys get in there and throw down. And that's what I do. I come out and throw down. You either knock me out or I'm going to knock you out. I guarantee you. Ragnarok main event, June 5th. Somebody's getting knocked out.
And I feel like whenever they say see also right beside what is bare knuckle in the definition, what that little phrase you just said was everything bare knuckle is. And you know, that was actually one of the fights that I did see. It was you and Sakuraba. There's guys, man, that I've looked up to my whole life. Chris Liebens and guys like you and just guys that have been doing this for so long that are true warriors. You know, it's like Rocky even said, it's not how hard you hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep going. Right. And it's do or die, man. In this sport, I'm so glad that it's finally able to become mainstream and people can see people who've built this sport and really MMA. They don't even know, like, a lot of the guys built MMA. Like you said, that was pride, you know, but it came from a lot of underground variable stuff. I was at a fight with Tank Abbott when I was a kid. It was a pit fight out in the middle of a field with trucks circling around, a bunch of people gambling and betting. We're getting paid more than some of these companies pay these guys now out in the middle of a field.
Yeah, and, been there, done that.
So it's just really cool, man, to get to see this and let everybody else get to see and meet you as well. So what are you doing?
This sport is definitely evolved.
Now, and what gym are you at?
Yeah, man, I got my own gym. So it's Cannon BJJ. Inside, I have mats, and then, you know, I got heavy bags, and I train with some boxers. But, you know, I go old school, man. I'm training with a guy named Michael Buell. Michael Buell, if anybody knows, he was the first USWSF lightweight world champion. He fought in Shudo, and he fought in Abu Dhabi, and he was an all-army boxing champion. Michael Buell is one of my best friends and training partners. The guy is all heart, and he doesn't give you a chance. He never gives you a chance, man. He's hard on you. So if you're fucking up, he's going to be in there telling you you're fucking up. You got to get in there and bang, and, you know, there's no quit. So a guy like that in your corners is old school, that knows what's going on. That definitely helps, man.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. That's mainly the success. You need to get Ragnarok going. If you have a guy like Shannon with a history, and also with the heart and that he wants to share shit. What do you prefer, and what? All those things that comes in handy, and as well as I have this my partner here in Andrew, the best matchmaker probably out there, probably in the world. The connection he has with Fyrus, it makes the job more easy. So basically, you just have to treat people right, and yeah, be a friend like to a guy that makes you money. So it's not hard. It's not hard at all.
So are you in any types of talks with BKFC?
So speaking of partnerships, man, you're being a matchmaker. I got to tell you, enough.
So I said I didn't hear that.
I couldn't either.
Can you just repeat that, Joe, man?
Dan is on break. Yeah, Shannon, go ahead.
Really hard to hear. I got some feedback going on. I don't know. Andrew, being a matchmaker, I got to tell you, I've fought from top to bottom. Any one of those fights on this Ragnarok card could be the main event. I just got lucky enough to be on the main event, but any one of these fights could be the main event. So when you watch the fights, June 5th in Ragnarok in Norway, watch the fights, because every one of them is going to be a barn burner. Andrew's put together one hell of a fight card.
Yeah, thanks, Shannon. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Sometimes, man, the debut fights, honestly, for me, are some of the best. You know, we've got guys, of course, absolutely, we know you're going to perform. But, you know, there's, you know, when you watch college football, it's not like when you watch NFL. Those guys have already got their millions of dollars. You watch college football here in America, and those guys are playing like it's their chance, you know, and sometimes those are the best fights and the biggest surprises for the fans too. So with that being said, what is do you have a favorite fight, Shannon, that you're looking forward to from a newer person or on the undercard?
Yeah, man, Jack Draper, man. Whoever Jack Draper fights is going to be one hell of a fight. That kid's on fire, man. I love that kid. He's tough, man. Tough kid. I like Jack Draper. Big shout out to you, Jack, if you're watching, man. Big shout out to you, brother.
He is. He says he's getting the
nice motion history. You heard it here first. I'll be looking out for you, Jack Draper. I trust Shannon here.
Awesome. Good to see you, Jack, man. I hope everything's good, man. Congrats on the new baby, too, by the way.
You know, that's another big thing. I've seen, man, a lot of one of the most violent sports, what people say anyway. Some of the nicest guys, man. Everybody seems such a big family here. Do you feel that other organizations are trying to play more games, or it's just so manly, or what do you think separates and what makes bare knuckle like that, whereas a lot of these other organizations and fight companies, boxing even, has gotten so anti each other?
It's not personal, you're just a number. You know, you're just another number. If your fight falls off, they don't care. They got somebody else to back you up. In bare knuckle, man, these guys, they care about the fighters. I'm telling you, they actually care about the fighters. They understand what's going on. You know, there's ups and downs being a fighter. You got great days, you got bad days, man, but you got bills to pay. People get sick, people get injured, people get hurt. The guys from Ragnarok are right there with you, man. They're like, hey, man, we understand, you know. And not only us, man. Look at the promoter. Stan's house just burned down the other night. If anybody wants an excuse, Stan has a perfect excuse. But you know what? He's not crying in his beer. He's busting his ass, and he's still putting on Ragnarok. And a guy's house just burned down. So, hats off to Stan, man. Hell of a guy.
Yeah. What can I say? We got good insurance.
Thank goodness for that. Huh?
Yeah, but honestly, I think it. I don't know. Sometimes I feel, and you probably feel the same as since you're on this show. Is it me just getting smarter, or all the other guys getting stupider? Because if you have your main source of income is your fighters, you should treat them like they're fucking gold in your ass.
That's right.
So I can't see the hard. What's hard with it? I can't see. And everybody who's been in bare knuckle has been a victim of a shitty promoter or a shitty contract or been fucked in the ass in some one way or another. So I don't see how it benefits you as a promoter at all being an asshole.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I got to cut it short, man. I got a class in there, and I got to get in there and get the kids out. It was really nice to be on the show, talk about Ragnarok. I appreciate the opportunity, but I got to take off, man. And you know, I wish best of luck to everybody out here.
Cheers. Thanks, Shannon.
This is why you're the champ.
So, is there anything else you guys would like to add that y'all are going to have on this show? Other than some amazing fights, anything leading up, some press conferences, promotions?
Anything we want to add? Yeah, just add that we have a lot, because of Andrew, we have a lot of amazing fighters. I think we have 16 of them are champion, either European champion, world champion, or national champion. 16 of the 26 fights, fighters?
Yeah, pretty much, mate. Yeah.
We got more belts,
there's some good lads in there, but they're all matched. There's not like one-sided fight in there. I've matched them as closely as I possibly can. We got the lads in to make the best fights, not just to see like a decent name, just sort of go through someone, you know. We just thought, I'd rather get to just every single one of them is going to be an absolute helper. Yeah, they're going to be good fights, man.
And how many total fights y'all have on this card so far?
13 we've got.
13 fights. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite fight as the matchmaker? I know we got Shannon on there, of course, as the main event. But I asked him what his favorite fight was. What's your favorite undercard, some debut, something new that nobody's going to know?
That's probably the best, most exciting fight. It's probably going to be Luke Atkins versus Simon Hendrickson. Just because they're both crazy. they're just wild guys, mate. They just Luke's like a double world champion from England. Simon fights over on King of the Streets in Denmark over in Sweden. And they're just both crazy guys, man. They'll come in for a tear up straight away then. They're good boxers, but they're just wild, you know.
That'll be a workout for the judge.
Yeah, they'll be no judge, mate. One of them will be going to sleep.
So as a matchmaker, what are you looking for? Like, you know, when you're looking, it's really hard. You know, here in America, we got David Fulham's got street beefs, doing rap-only stuff now, trying to decide whether we're going to bring pro boxers, pro MMA guys. What are you personally looking for as a matchmaker?
Have a good clash of styles, or just two lads who are just hungry to fight to the end, you know. Just not interested in lads who just get hurt and just fall over, you know. Just, I want lads to want it. If they're not hungry to win, I'm not interested in them. There's none of these guys on here, mate. That if I've seen any of them just like quitting a show, just I don't want to see it. I wouldn't do it myself as a fighter, mate. So,
You can also mention that you follow them on training. If they don't train, they're out of here.
No, I've just got rid of one lad because he was just thought he just weren't training, mate. I give him every opportunity to get in the gym. I was just letting lads train on their own up there whilst it's closed, you know. And I was like, and he's just making bullshit. So you're like, oh, I'm getting back from work at 5:30 and I want to see my kids. And it's like, well, you don't want to fight then, do you? You've got to commit to it.
So when y'all are really checking on them, what you're saying is you're just making sure those motherfuckers are training, getting ready.
Yeah, mate, because you're not
No, I'm kidding. but again, it's
these guys train. Some of these guys train at my gym, mate. And if I know they're not pulling the weight, they're not fucking fighting.
Yeah, we got a lot of fucking people in line who take the place in 1 second.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity.
Y'all are focused on bringing champions in the best fights. Nothing, even down to the training.
We rely on the audience to buy tickets.
Yeah, I mean, the lads we got cut as well. He was like the least experienced guy there. Give him a big opportunity to sort of. He's a nice lad. You know what I mean? He's a big lump, but he was like, you need to train. You're far behind everyone else. You've got to put the time in. I was going to help him as much as I could, and just didn't come into the gym. Just won't even. He's like, oh, I'm doing a bit of training at home. It's like, mate, you don't even know what it. You're just not what we want, you know.
That makes them. Yeah.
So then, so what brought you guys together in the very first place? Like, what was like? I need you. What told you you needed him to be your matchmaker?
I was in an organization called the UBKB, Sean Smith, the debt collectors team. I was signed by them, of course, when you're starting up something, I needed fighters because we didn't have the fighters in the Scandinavia, and burning my ass on that shit, I took a little trip on the internet and did my job, my homework, finding out who the fuck is the guy you can trust here. And that's a limited kind of options you have when you go through that. So Andrew, being a fighter himself, never talking shit about anybody on the internet, I thought that was a good start. So I got on a plane, we went for a beer.
Pretty good way to settle something.
Yeah.
I'm just lucky to have him and as a partner in this. So it's always good to be too. Yeah, it's good. I'm gonna say.
I know you guys are busy getting this in
friendship and business, but it's nice to be in business with friends.
Yeah, but again, if you pay people enough money, you don't need even loyalty.
Yeah, well, I know that.
Yeah. See, if you get enough pay, you will show up to fucking work no matter what. If you're Dalai Lama or fucking blowing up a fucking building, you come to work for that money.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm a fighter. I get punched in the face. I know all about showing up for the right amount of money.
But
I'm not doing your dishes, but I'll get kicked in the dick for the right amount of pay.
Wouldn't it be nice if you, as a promoter, you're making more money if the fighter's making more money, and vice versa. So why don't?
Yeah, if my wife's not bitching at me, boy, I'll get my ass kicked.
Yeah,
I'd rather get punched in the throat and pay my wife's bills than go home broke.
But that plus, you're not getting your shit going because you're bringing home money.
Yeah, hey, look, if I'm going to get divorced, I got to have half to give her. You know what I'm saying? I got to give me a hole so I at least have half.
But that's why we're trying to do it. I don't think we're trying to do something different, but maybe we're just not the gangsters or the people who are taking advantage of it. I don't know. Maybe because we were fighters ourselves, but we have a goal. My main goal would be to be able to pay fighters a year's salary for 3 fights, and if you have that as a goal or as a dream, you can start the goal tomorrow. Start going for it. So it will make you more money if you can make them more money. So I don't see the problem with motivation at all. So and also there's the shitty little things about getting rid of the ticket sales. Why do you have to sell tickets to pay your own fucking wages? I think that's stupid in some countries. That's not professional at all. So we the first thing we did was get rid of that. You don't pay your own fucking wage for selling tickets for us. And that's had an impact on fighters calling us. So yeah,
no, you know, I think that I think maybe that's why it's blowing up, where people have kept it so underground. There's people like you all coming together and really making this. The fighters are finally to the point where y'all are doing what you're doing, going, man, if we want to make this grow, we have to do for what's coming what wasn't done for us, what we hated about what people didn't do for us. You know, I'm passionate. I was a waiter, and it's something as simple as me going out and tipping 20-25% to a waitress because they've had a bad night. Maybe they don't do the best, but sometimes that's what it is. When you understand what somebody goes through and you want your legacy to pass on, you want them to be more successful. I know one day I want to own a company where I can pay a guy $1 million to headline a bare-knuckle fighting show, because if I'm paying that motherfucker $1 million, I'm making $20 to $30 million. And it's getting to a point where I've seen the greed kind of dying down, and the greedy ones are falling out, and the greatness like you guys and the things that are coming up, man. And it's really like
you
guys, thing.
Well, you as well. You understand the shit. You'll be a great promoter. But I think it's more common sense. Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you say common sense, but there's a lot of fucking idiots out there. You know, in the world the last 2 years. I'm not picking sides, but there's a lot of fucking idiots right now. So nothing surprises me. Like Nate Diaz says, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. I don't care what.
Yeah. So that's I think it's the right sport to be in, because the competition isn't as hard as in American football yet.
Well, you know, and that's also just a whole new greatness. I mean, everybody right now has a chance to be a superstar because it's not underground. They're going to be buying all our T-shirts. So guys like Shannon are going to have my kids buying his damn T-shirt. And 10 years ago, when he was probably some of the top and one of the best world champions, kids like that wouldn't even know. 10 years has gone by, and it's going to become its own thing. Not even competing with the UFC or anything like that, but bare knuckle boxing, bare knuckle fighting is I think it's the new thing, man. I've just the reaction I've seen from the crowds personally fighting.
Good,
even when I'm not fighting, I go to every bare knuckle with anything that has bare knuckle's name on it, not bare knuckle FC, but just any bare knuckle. I go to the competition. I go to the underground fights. I've been more involved in it than anything, and I haven't rented a UFC pay-per-view probably about six of them in the past like 10 years.
Yeah. But that's why you're also a matchmaker genius, Andrew, to get the guy like Shannon on board. What kind of after effects that have on our he's just dying to come with his advice and his stories, and you can just sit there and enjoy and learn everything he's telling you. And you're okay. So it's you get more than what you pay for. He's worth every fucking pound in his pocket. He should get his. You can have that kind of association to your fighters. You got a dream workplace. So doing what you love and being around people who are more experienced than you, and they just take it that, okay, shit, they don't have to do that wrong. That's what that would be, probably what a good parent would do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know you guys.
It's better than dating each other.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Sorry.
We're not so pretty, so I don't know how we would do doing that.
I'm pretty.
Are you guys able to hear me at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little. Now.
Just ignoring you.
I haven't switched. My internet's all messed up here. So.
So where are you now? In the neighbor's house?
No.
It's actually not choppy now. It was way choppy earlier.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I thought I was all set to go. Apparently not. I recreated a new studio and whatever. But so, what time is it there, guys? Are you?
Half one in the morning.
Half three.
So I know you guys are busy and have a lot to do. Do you have any sponsors and anything you want to shout out to the audience here before you take off?
It's about isn't it about? Not telling you everybody yet. We got a lot of sponsors, and we got a lot of interested people. We are very happy that people are following us. We are happy that that they're acknowledging the sport and what we do for the fighters, and we're in a position right here now in a new sport that's going to take off. So every sponsor or every TV company should be dying to get on this sport, because this is the new UFC coming up. So I don't think it's like I told you, we didn't call anybody, any countries. They called us. So that's because it's taking off. I think every sponsors, everybody who wants to get in on this should get in on it straight away. And I don't know about Andrew, but this must be pretty easy to matchmake when you have all those people calling you every fucking day.
It's easy enough,
all together with numbers.
It's a lot easier than what I do in England, mate.
Yeah.
Paying a lot more better wages.
Welcome to Norway.
Right on. Well, like I said, I know you guys are busy and probably need to get some sleep. So we wanted to let you give any shout outs to your sponsors,
I just want to thank ourselves for being ourselves and doing what we do.
Nobody ever thanks themselves.
Yeah, why not? Because nobody else will thank you. But we want to, the cool thing about, I want to thank David Feldman, because probably one of the first calls that we got, that was David Feldman calling us. So we're just like, I don't think he even believed in any of us, but it was, that's a cool thing when a guy reaches down to give you acknowledgement, if you can call that. So it's, thank you to David Feldman.
All right. Well,
thank you to you guys as well. Sorry.
Oh yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming on the show again, and I'd love to have you back on before your main event.
Thank you guys. It's really nice to hear just another perspective and see everybody working together, man, to make this sport so great. So we're really thankful for you as well. Thank you all.
Thank you, Joe. And I must say, you have more in your head than the other fighters do.
Thank you, man. You know, hey, look, I try to show people it's kind of strange that I'm a little vicious, and I'm definitely crazy, but I got a lot of love, man, and this is my life. And I truly grew up wanting to be a bare knuckle brawler since I've been 5 years old. It's a spirit or something. Sometimes I imagine myself in the middle of a coliseum fighting, and I relate to other fighters, and I love anybody who's trying to make this sport grow. And you know, I hope to be one of the faces. You know, I want to be the new Chuck Liddell or something. I know this is y'all's interview, but anybody who's making that platform possible for anybody like that, I love them, and I love being a part of it. So I'm grateful.
What you're actually saying is that you want to go with Ragnarok to Italy. Is that? Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
brother.
Tell Andy, thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, man. I think they're great guys. I think that I think their organization is going to be fun. So,
and yeah, it sounds cool, man.
The fighters.
What happened to Brandon?
He said his phone messed up, and then Casey. I don't know where he went. Casey was supposed to be on.
That's all right. We'll work on the background and getting everything together, man. I hope it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I changed my whole studio. I thought I was ready to go. I think it was my internet that was the issue. But it's been.
I was hoping, because I know my headphones went out. Sometimes when the headphones went out, I was like, "Man, is that echo mine?"
I've had to reset my router like 8 times today. It's just.
I've got 1,000 MB, but I'm gonna have a little bit better studio. Get a little red light. Try to get it going. And any suggestions you have, man, for me?
Oh, I'll help you out when we get off air, but. So how are you doing? I know we talked a little bit off air, but you know, you look, compared to your last fight, you're looking damn good.
And I feel fucking great, dude. Like I said, I got a small little injury we're not going to talk about because I guess I'll be fine in 4 weeks. What's going on with my hand will be fine in 4 weeks. I had an injury in my left shoulder. I tore my rotator cuff before the fight. I actually tore it 5 days before, or not completely. Now it's gone. It was a little messed up, but I had to have six cortisol shots to get my shoulder to even function. Decided to take the fight, got it popped back in place, went to like 9 therapists and massage therapists to get ready for the fight. But I knew that was going to be my only opportunity to fight a living legend since I was a kid. Like I said, I've wanted to always thought my dream fight was going to be like at first BJ Penn. And then I want to fight Nate Diaz because he's a soldier. And then I was like, you know what? Like guys like Leonard Garcia, I was like, so when BKFC came around, Leonard Garcia was like the only guy I was thinking, I want to fight. Like that dude's a monster. And if I want to prove that I'm the baddest motherfucker alive, not Masvidal or anybody else, I got to fight that guy. Like for bare knuckle, he's, you know, like.
Could you imagine you? And Nate Diaz in the ring?
Oh, dude, if I could fight Nate Diaz for fucking
that would be a bloody mess. God. That would be a bloody mess.
Two men. That's like, but I like that sexy. That shit's sexy to me, bro.
Two men just bleeding.
Y'all didn't know. I told everybody, y'all didn't know I was a fucking painter, huh? That Picasso, that whole mat. I want to buy a cut out bloody spot on that BKFC mat, and that's going to be my background right here.
Yeah, that'd be nice. All right, man. Well, I think next week we got Christine Faria coming on, so she's always a fun interview. Hopefully, we all get our internet and our phones charged and all that good stuff before the next one. But you got any?
Hope you all enjoyed it, man. Hope everybody tunes in. We can get this shit together.
I was gonna say, you got any final thoughts?
Man, just tune in. You know, we're gonna get it together, make it fun. I hope you guys enjoy it. Give us any fucking feedback you want, negative or good. I'm good with that stuff. So let us know what y'all think.
All right, man. Well, you guys take it easy, and you guys have a good night.
Easy.
What we do here is go back.
And if you look at the favorite...